Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. It's good to be saved. Amen. And we, just a real brief synopsis, left Alabama. That's what I want. Left Alabama 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I don't know, some time ago. And our truck broke down and really broke down. $15,000 worth of repairs. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And so we traded it. We've got the Expedition out there. So our RV is down in Alabama. And we're going out of a car. And but the Lord knows what he's doing. And we're still saved, going to heaven. Amen. Amen. And but God's good. It's good to be back. Good to see the addition and what the Lord's doing here. It's exciting. And praise the Lord for a church that's going in the right direction. Amen. That's actually growing. That's a good sign. But just be in prayer for this week. We need God. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to show up. And I was sitting up here. I'm not a snob. If you're a visitor, you know, up at one thing, you know, I'm fighting a cold. It's going around. And, you know, so it, at least it's not the flu. But I am fighting a cold, so I'm just kind of, you know, aloof and that sort of thing. But and I don't like preaching or teaching with drugs in me, but this morning is an exception. So anyway, we'll by the grace of God, do good. If you will, take your Bibles, go to the book of John. Go to the book of John. I was praying about what to go over, what to do, and I had a couple things in mind. And I kept coming back to this, and so we'll go with it. And I'll probably skip the middle. I want to get down to a verse. There's something I want to bring out. But John chapter 9, we'll just start in verse 1 and go verse by verse through here. But let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father, God, it's good to be in a Bible-believing church this morning. God, good to know these are your holy words. God, I pray that you clear our minds and our hearts, the cares of this life. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us today. Lord, we need thee. We need thee every day, every moment, every second of every day. God, I pray that you would minister. Lord, you know the needs of each heart. I do not. God, would you please work and move and minister and have your way and will in this Sunday school, in the services this week. God, draw us nearer to thee. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And this man, blind from his birth, obviously it's a picture of a lost man. And you're born dead in trespasses and sins. And a child, a little baby, is innocent. But then there comes a point where the innocence leaves and you're guilty before God. You're a sinner. And he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And he saw that man before that man was ever aware that Jesus was looking at him. Here's a blind man by the road. Jesus passes by, sees him, and a blind man, obviously blind, he's not aware. And the Lord was looking at you long before you were ever aware of Jesus Christ. He was looking at you almost 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross, and he saw you. And thank God he did. He's a good God. He's the only good God. Amen. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And notice the assumption that this man, the blindness, the disabled part of him is due to sin. It's assumed there by the disciples, and a lot of people are that way. They assume somebody born a certain way, well, sin, either in them or the parents or relatives, you know, or whatever, that sort of thing. And Jesus said, neither. And he says, there hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And the Lord wants to use your weakness. He doesn't want to use your strength. I've seen pastors trying to serve God. They're extremely talented with their hands. And they can fix anything. They can build anything. They can do anything. And that ability becomes a hindrance to them learning how to trust God. They don't know how to stop and say, Lord, you got to do it. They just pitch in, they just step in, and I can do it, and I can do it. And God's going, well, if you want to do it, help yourself. But I can do a lot better job if you just let me. And I didn't have that drawback. I don't have any trade. I mean, I am all thumbs. You know, I mean, pastors worked on my vehicles from time to time. And, you know, I'll change the oil now and then, you know, that sort of thing. But carpentry, I've swung a hammer and stuff. But I have no trade. All I can do, you know, if you can't use your hands, you know what you got to do? You got to use your mouth. I'm a preacher, so it works real good. But you take God. We like to think, well, I can do this and I can do that. And there's been times, I mean, you know, I got into evangelism, preaching, going. People are like, whoa, wow, man, listen to that. So you know what the Lord did? Took my voice. That was not fun. That was not fun. And I'm like, oh, man, will I ever talk again? I mean, just talk. I couldn't talk. Some of you probably remember. And it's like, Lord, and I had to get to the point, and it wasn't easy to go, God, thank you for my weak voice that I've got to lean on thee. And I don't know how God wants to use each one of you. I know this, God wants to use each one of you. No doubt about that. And I remember when I got saved, it was like, okay, I can do this, oh, I got to hurry. We'll not get through this. But there were things that I thought I knew. And before I got saved, there was a lot of social gatherings at our house. And Terry, can I get that water, please? Or the lemonade? And we're lost. And I had a lot of people over, had a lot of parties. And I got saved. And I thought, wow, I can do the same thing for Jesus. We won't have all the booze and all the stuff we were doing. But I know how to get a group together, and we'll have a bunch of people over, and we'll start a church. Man, it's going to be great. And I started going about it the same way I did with the parties and stuff. Lord was nowhere to be found. I mean, he just like, no. And I'm like, man, this used to work. And that's not the way the Lord wanted to do it. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do with you. But generally, if you're seeking God's will for your life, you think, well, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And the Lord said, but I want you to do this. And it's like, I can't do that. And he said, exactly. You'll rely on me. And we don't like that. We don't like being weak. Don't like it. The flesh hates it. It's like, no, I'm going to be strong and I can do this. And the Lord's going to bring you to a point, if you're going to serve him, where it's like, I can't do this. And he says, good, rely on me. And through me, you'll be able to do this. When I am weak, then am I strong. And he says there, verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There's a story. Terry listened to a sermon, and I've listened to it as well, by David Gibbs. And really, the sermon, he just tells three stories. The main story is about his mom. And David Gibbs, CLA, Christian Law Association, some people like it, some people don't, whatever. But the story is absolutely amazing. David Gibbs said when he was a teenager, he must have been 14. What's that? He was 8. All right. He was 8 years old. He had a sister younger. Older? Okay. Well, anyway. Ladies, you can, you know, it's a reliable translation. Okay. I mean, I've only heard the story like 5 times, you know, but pray for my wife. And, but anyway, when he was 8 years old, his mom said to him, David, go get your dad. And he said he went to get his father. And he said, that was the last time I ever saw my mom on her feet. She got polio. She went to the hospital. Obviously, in those days, didn't know what they know now and stuff. But nevertheless, she went to the hospital. He said, I did not see her for 2 years. Finally, they said, we're going to go be able to go see mom. They went to the hospital. There was a kind of a room where they could be. There was a little open courtyard, grassy area. And across it was the other building. And there's windows, obviously. And they said, your mom's going to be in, brought into the room right across. And there was an intercom. And he said, they wheeled my mother in. I hadn't seen her for 2 years. Brought her in the bed. She was paralyzed from the neck down. Not just, she, all she had, and she could barely breathe, she could talk, and her eyes, but I mean, she was just, it was bad. And he looked over at his mother, but before that, they brought her in. She's laying there in her bed, and she said, would you please turn my head so I can see my children? And she didn't know the intercom was on because to turn her head caused very great pain. And he said they turned her head over so she could look at us. And he said, I could hear her muffle her screams as from the pain as it turned her head. I looked at her. She looked at me. She said, now, David, don't you think that? And he said, think what, Mom? He said, mothers, they know. They know. She said, don't you think that? God doeth all things well. She couldn't. She could barely breathe. And she, more and more, let me make a long story short, try to anyway. Because of the polio, the church they went to, she had come home from the hospital. The pastor came by and said, David was there, Mrs. Gibbs was there, his sister, I don't know if his father was there or not, I don't think so, and said, he was out working, and said, we took a vote at church, we don't want you to come back to church. And said, you're not welcome at church anymore. And they said, we don't like the polio. We're concerned. And they got that news. And then she said to the pastor, she said, I know I'm damaged goods, but would you please pray that God would find something for me to do? And that preacher said, Mrs. Gibbs, you don't understand. You are damaged goods, and God is through with you. Now, you think about that. Polio, paralyzed. You just got kicked out of church, and your pastor says, God is through with you. David got up, by now he's about 12, something like that, 10. And he was halfway across the room. He said, I was going to make the guy's teeth come out the back of his head. And he said, Mama, stop. He said, David, you stop right there. He said, Mother, he said my hand was ready. And she said, David, stop. And he said, the pastor was backing up, getting ready to run. And anyway, long story short, another pastor came to town, came in, and I'm explaining this verse. This is just an amazing illustration. One day, another pastor came over to their house, came in, said, you know, I'm going to be starting a church here in this town. And I heard about your, you know, troubles and things. And he said, I'd like you to invite you out. And she said, well, yeah, they don't want us back in the other one. And because of the polio, he said, well, he said, I don't know. He said, I've heard about polio. He said, but I got a big God. He said, we're not worried about it. And he said, we'd like to come to church. And she said, okay, we'll be there. And then that lady, she said, Pastor, would you do me a favor? She's in a wheelchair. She can't move. She said, would you pray that God would give me something to do? He said, all right. And David said, that guy laid down in the middle of their living room floor and started to talk to God like he really knew who he was talking to. Just talking to him. He said, now, Lord, this lady, she'd like something to do. He said, so, you know, if you could, would you please give her something? Well, I never thought about that. I don't know why I didn't think about that. All right, Lord, thank you. And he got up and he said, Miss Gibbs, he said, I need a Sunday school superintendent. He said, we really don't have many kids. Matter of fact, my kids are the only ones. But, you know, would you run our Sunday school? And she said, I would be delighted. I'm going to make it short. In 5 years, they were running 5,000 in Sunday school. It's an amazing story. What is she? She's weak. She has no strength. She's got to be carried to her wheelchair, carried to bed, nothing. He said at night, he'd hear her praying and saying, oh, God, be with Davy. God, I pray. God, I need my breath. God, help me breathe. God, I can't breathe. A woman so weak like that, God used her in a very, very mighty way. God's going to use you, if you'll let him. And it's great privilege. But oftentimes, it'll be a weakness. It'll be something that you don't know how to do. And he'll take that, and you'll know, yeah, it's all God. It's all God, that's for sure. And verse 4, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me. Without his day, the night cometh when no man can work. You have the opportunity this morning to serve God. Think about that. You deserve to burn in hell. And so do I. And the King of Glory has a job that he wants you to do. What's that mean to you? Does that mean anything to you? And that's a great privilege. Before I got saved, I was trying to find a reason to live. When I got saved, I said, Lord, you're the reason and you're worth living for. And the Lord has work for every one of you here this morning to do. Do you know what God wants you to do? And are you doing it? Now, there's a lot of things that are obvious. You know, be in church, read your Bible, pray, tithe, win souls. You know, that's all. Yep. Say, preacher, okay, I'm doing that. And that's good. And you're going to get rewards for that. But there's that job. What? You say, what job? Your job. And I can't do your job. Can't do it. God doesn't want me to do it. And the King of Glory's got a job he wants you to do. If the Lord came today in the rapture, we're out of here, and he might. I hope he does. I'm ready to go. But if he came today, he stood before God, and he asked you, what did I want you to do for me? Would you be able to say, well, Lord, I know you wanted me to do this. And I say, you're right. But is there anybody here this morning that would say, he's got a job for me? Yeah, for you. Would you go, I'm not sure. You better find out. Better find out. It's great, great privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're alive. That's right. I mean, if you're living for money and things, you're wasting your life. That's a waste. Serving the King, you better do something that's going to last forever. You want purpose? It's Him. It's Him. That's why you're alive. He says, or I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. Going to come a day, you're not going to be able to work for Him. You're going to be done. Not with a free will. When you get your new body, you'll automatically serve Him because you won't have the flesh. But, right now's the time to serve the Lord of your own free will. I mean, that's now is the time to do that. The night cometh, and whether it's the night of old age or the night of apostasy or the night of the tribulation or whatever it is, there's nights, there's a time coming, it'll be over. It'll be over. And how many saints going to get up there and, oh, I wish I'd have done that. Don't let that be you. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That is so true. Jesus Christ is the light of music. Jesus Christ is the light of science. Jesus Christ is the light of medicine. I mean, just on and on. There is so much that we enjoy today because somebody was praying, saying, Lord, how do I do this? And God gave him light. But there's a brother in Ohio, and he's a chemist. And he was working on, he was at this place, and they were working on a substance to extract oil out of tar sands. And there were like 7 or 8 chemists in this company, and that was their job. And something happened, and he and one chemist broke off and started their own. And one day, he was working on this thing, and he's praying, and he got it. And he developed a liquid, and he said, when you mix it, you get this tar sand, all the oil's in there. He said, you put it in this liquid, he didn't say what it was, and you shake it up, everything just divides. He said, the sand, and he says, like 99.9% pure sand, and the clay, and whatever else, and the oil, and he said, just put in layers, right there. And he said, I did not have the brains to figure that out. It was God. And they said to him, when he was at the company with the other ones, he was working on it. They all were. And some guy came around and said, that'll never work. And he goes, you're looking at that tar sand as if it's billions of years old. I'm looking at it as if it's only a few thousand. And he said it made all the difference. What's that? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Listen, he's the light of your world. Amen? Man, I was walking in darkness. My life was dark. When the Lord came in, there's light. I got understanding. Thank God for that. Man, it was so dark. I don't know how your life was. Mine was dark. Man, I'd look ahead. I had no future. Nothing, man. I mean, people say, oh, I saw a house, or I saw, you know, my whatever I'm going to do for the rest of my life, and I had plans and all that stuff. I had no plans. None. I had no future. I saw nothing. It's like, what is there worth living for? When I got saved, Lord, you're it. You're it. And that's it. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. You say, why did he do that? I have no idea. You say, what's going on there? I have no idea. Don't know. You know, he anoints, you know, maybe there's, I'm being honest, maybe there's a medicinal thing in clay for blind people. I don't know. I mean, you never know. But he did it. I have no idea there. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You know what happens when you put dirt in your eyes? You close them. I mean, it's like, you don't want to open them. He puts dirt in his eyes. Maybe that was to motivate him to get down to the pool and wash there. Maybe that's all it was. I don't know. But it's a strange thing. Here's a blind man who gets clay put in his eyes, and he goes down there, washes, and it's like, wow, I can see. I mean, that's an amazing thing there. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? It's a type of a lost man getting saved. Some said, this is he. Others said he's like him, but he said, I am he. When you get saved, you're not the same. You are just not the same. Now, if you got raised, if you were raised up in a Christian home, the change may not be all that big. Mom and dad will see it, but others won't. But some of us didn't have that luxury. And I got saved when I was 18, was not raised in a Christian home. And when I got saved, now, again, I mean, Egypt's there. The marks of Egypt are there. I mean, I didn't quit all my sins overnight, that sort of thing. But there was a big change. And people are like, man, what happened to you? And I remember there was this girlfriend, the devil trying to mess me up not long after I got saved. And she it was a little town about the size of, Bellefonte. Up there in the mountains of California. And she'd meet people and, you know, friends, different things. They'd say, you're going with Kim McDonald? And she said, yeah. He said, isn't he a little bit wild for you? She's like, well. And then she'd meet somebody else and they'd go, you're going with Kim McDonald? She said, yeah. She'd go, isn't he a little bit religious for you? And she goes, I get the strangest replies. Some people think you're just real wild, and then some people think you're real religious, you know? And it's like, well, there's a big change. I mean, it was a big change. And you're not the same, and thank God. Thank God you're not. And some said, verse 9, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And one of the biggest... You may come up to somebody, you know, and try to witness to them, or they ask you, and you don't know what to say. Well, just tell them how you got saved. Just tell them how you got saved. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that worked for me. I mean, one of the most powerful things you have is to tell somebody how you got saved. You're not rebuking them, so they're not on the defense. You're not going intellectually against them because you didn't get saved intellectually. You got saved from your heart. But you just tell them, well, I knew that I was a sinner. The Spirit of God take that thing and go, and put it on them. Ooh, well, I just don't believe in sin. Yeah, but inside it's like, you're doing damage. And I heard about Jesus died on the cross. Ooh, and man, you're just tearing them up. And they know you're not getting on them, because you're humbling yourself saying, I just knew I was no good and I'm a sinner. And well, what are they going to say about that? Oh, you're all right. No, I'm not. Man, I had lied. I'd stolen. I mean, I'd done all this stuff. And your testimony is a very, very powerful thing. The Apostle Paul gives his before kings. It's a very powerful thing. And verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. And when you first get saved, you don't have all the answers. You just don't have them, which is a good thing sometimes. I remember one day, brother, what time do you generally knock off?
15:20 after.
All right. Excuse me. Lord, help me. I remember one time I'd been out of Bible school, graduated, you know. I was out there in California. My dad was a school principal, college educated. Evolution in his mind was fact. And one day I was there and I said something and he asked me a question about the Bible. And I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's go, man. We're ready. And I answered it with scripture. Well, because the Bible says. And he said, why is that? And I said, well, because the Bible says. And he said, why is that? Well, because the Bible says. And there was like 8 times. And he was not getting under conviction. It was a mere intellectual pursuit. And he goes, well, why is that? Well, because the Bible says. Because the Bible says. And then he asked one. He said, well, why is that? And I go, I'm not sure on that one. He goes, well. And the conversation was over. And I went, oh, man. When you're witnessing to somebody, witnessing 101, stay on salvation. I didn't do it. I hope my dad didn't go to hell because of that. I don't know. I don't know if he was saved or not. We take, he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Do you know why they crucified the Lord? Now I know spiritually, he died for me, he died for you, amen. Do you know why they crucified the Lord? Because they said, you're not qualified to be the Son of God. That's very important. You see why? There's many a person gets ready to serve God, and the devil throw that thing right on him. You're not qualified to do whatever. That's why they crucified the Lord. Well, he's not qualified to be the Son of God. He's not qualified. He's not qualified. Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was. You know what they said about David? David, you're not qualified. Over and over in that Bible, you see people serving God, being used by God, that those around them say, but you're not qualified. You better watch out for that. Verse 17, they say unto him, the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened his eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's like, you know what, you guys? He says, his answers are getting shorter and shorter. He's like, come on, man. And so they give him a bad time. And verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen, amen, and amen. Isn't it good to see? Isn't it good? I mean, look at the world. I mean, the murders and all the junk that's going on. Isn't it good to be able to see? It's like, yeah, okay, well, the Bible says, you and I, we look out, we see what's going on. We see that the Lord's getting ready to come back. We see the one world government beginning to form all this stuff. We see it. We don't have panic.
Right.
We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Isn't it good not to be blind? Amen. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. They said unto him again, what did he unto thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore, when ye hear it again, will ye also be his disciples? Woo-hoo! They don't like that. Who are you to tell us? You better watch it. You better watch it. You better watch that pride. Don't ever think nobody can, you know, tell you something out of the Bible or something like that. There's, you know, we'll be in churches and there'll be people, they admit they're slow of speech or, you know, they're just kind of not all there, that sort of thing. And I say, you know what I learned, preacher? I try to listen. Probably give me a nugget, you know. And verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciple. We know that God, I'm hurrying because I want to get to something. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. They didn't want to know. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing some marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is? Yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now, are you a sinner? Yeah, I'm a sinner. Well, God doesn't hear you then. Now, in this context, sinners, we would call them the druggies and the harlots and, you know, the prostitutes, that sort of thing. And it's a class, a degradation type of terminology, obviously, because, you know, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But it's that sort of thing. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not a God, he could do nothing. I mean, that's simple logic, but it's faith as well. And they don't have nothing to do with it. They're like, just get out of here. And 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Well, that's what the disciples asked in verse 2. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? See that? Look at what they do. Thou wast altogether born in sins. That's the attitude they're taking. They're wrong. Thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? Don't ever be like that. Don't ever get to the point where you think, you're going to teach me? Better look out. Better look out. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. What's that? He got kicked out of the church. I mean, we skipped it, but his parents, they were afraid, oh no, if we say God did it, then they're going to kick us out of the church. And everybody's afraid of being kicked out of the church and being cast out and all that sort of thing. And they cast him out. Now watch this. This is very important. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. He's like, I mean, this whole time, this guy's witnessing, standing up for the Lord, and doing a real good job. And you don't hear nothing about the Lord. And then they kick him out of the synagogue. And Jesus goes, they kicked him out? I got to go find him. Look at that. Jesus heard when they had cast him out, and when he had found him, when he heard the guy had been kicked out, the Lord said, I got to go find that guy, and went after him. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about over there in Hebrews. It says, let us go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. And the Lord appreciates people that are cast out because they're standing up for the truth, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for what's right. And it's very, very common that if you stand for the truth, No, you won't have the stained glass windows, and you won't be, you know, a favorite of the denomination, and on and on and on. You'll be cast out. You'll be a pariah. You'll be out. Oh, no. Oh, one of them, just get out of here. That's where the Lord goes. That's where the Lord goes. It's storefronts. Now, I'm not against church buildings. I pray y'all get a church building, but this is nice. I'm not saying it's not nice, but it's there is a something about going without the camp, because the Lord knows what that's like. He was crucified on the outside of the city. It's a reproach. Notice when they had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And I want to say this, and I'll be done. After he got cast out, he got to know the Lord. That's very important. When he got cast out, mom and dad are still in the synagogue and they're afraid of getting cast out. What's going on? There's now a division between him and his parents. Division now. Why? He's an outcast. He's there. But he's there, and you know what? The Lord personally goes up to him and says, "I'm he." And he says, "I believe." And he gets to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get to know the Lord when you're in that place where you're alone, where you've been cast out, where you're away. And there's a reproach that you're bearing because you're doing right. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'll come and fellowship with you. I'll come and make myself known to you." And that fellowship, that walk, that communion, very, very sweet. Very sweet. Lord, let you know, everything's all right. I'm here. Everything is all right. All right, let's bow our heads for a prayer. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless the lesson. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. God, I know you were crucified without the gate. Lord God, we don't like going out. We don't like losing family and friends. We don't like the reproach. The flesh doesn't. But God, you appreciate people that will bear a reproach for you. God, help us in these last days to be that people. To be what you want us to be, that we might be a light in a very dark time. Lord, bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.